I hope y'all are ready. This is Wednesday evening, 3:15:23. The title of this is Time to Buzz the Tower. You remember Maverick? Wanting it or not, right time or not, he said, Goose, it's time to buzz the tower. Well, the Lord says, time to buzz the tower. So we're going to buzz the tower tonight. All right, I'm going to just read some here, then we'll look at some scriptures. Why is the clean and unclean thing such a big thing in the church age? Would you bring those up here, Jackie? Would you? Appreciate it. Put them up here so y'all can see them.
All of these?
Yeah, we might as well.
Not the
flat earth. Even though that's good too. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right.
Put them down here. Or?
I'll just put that there. So you. All right. Why is the clean and unclean thing such a big thing in the church age? The first dispensation was the law. We know that. Ordinances, rules and rituals, just fleshly rules and rituals. That's what it was. The second is the dispensation of faith. So you believe in Jesus Christ by faith, and the kingdom operates by faith. All right? It's all by the Spirit. It's not by works. The law was totally by works. And most of it had to do with around killing sacrifices, and the bread had to be fixed a certain way. It was all about food. Only by faith do we enter. Only by faith do we operate in this kingdom. Unclean cannot... That's okay, Jackie. We'll just leave it down there on the flat. Unclean cannot mix with clean. Unclean cannot mix with clean. The Holy Spirit has been talking to us about just doing stuff. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Okay, I want to go to Galatians 5. Verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And it goes on to talk about the works of the flesh and the works of the, and the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot mix them. It doesn't work. It won't work. Why does the Lord bring up to me so much about food concerning this? They dealt with this at the dawning of the church age. It is not about food for food's sake, but it is about leaven and Old Testament practices being carried over into the new dispensation. So much mixture equals zero effectiveness. You cannot operate under the law with its rules and regulations and walk by faith. Neither the two shall meet. Yet we see today that most that call themselves Christians have a lot of mixture in their lives, leaving them discouraged because nothing seems to work for them, including their faith. Now we've had those that even taught, yeah, you can kind of mix them and come out of it, and maybe that's so, but not by what the Lord's telling me. These little foxes, thoughts, leaven, is leveling the whole lump. A church full of ineffective Christians. Couldn't blow fuzz off a peanut. How convenient for the devil. Easy pickings for him, don't you think? He just keeps us spinning our wheels with no results. Because of the mixture. You know what will happen? Eventually it'll leaven the whole lump. That's what the Holy Spirit's been saying. Just like Maverick, whether you want it or not, it's time to buzz the tower concerning this area again. You think, well, when is it going to quit bringing that? When the Lord tells me to quit bringing it. I guess when he's buzzed the tower enough that we finally get it. Sometimes I think, Lord, am I ever going to get it completely? Am I ever going to get it completely? All right, Acts chapter 10. Hey, this wasn't what I was going to have. I had something else in mind or thoughts in another area. But he gave me some thoughts on stuff I hadn't ever considered before, how he looks at it. All right, this is Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by holy angels to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Do y'all remember when I said Sunday? It just came out of my mouth. There's more that you deal with because of where you're missing it with God than, how did I word that? I mean, I know we go through warfare and different things, but really a lot of the things we suffer is because where we've not waited on God, not listened to God, or we've been compromised, right? Then called he them in and lodged there. Peter definitely had a problem. I'm thinking, why'd you choose Peter? You know? Because he was trying to help Peter. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, had called together his kinsmen and near friends, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together, and he said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. At the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh, he shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of the truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now he just talked about under the law that what they, if they were non-Jewish, they were scum. What they call the goyim or whatever they call, all they're good for, that's what the ones that follow the Talmud, that is their, that's what this Khazarian mafia, Phoenicians, they want to extinguish every person on the face of the earth because they're not worth living. That's the way they thought. Yeah? All right. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable with God. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee and after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and testify that... Did I skip some? Okay. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and testify that it is he which ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, to give to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So, no more rituals or ordinances, just believing by faith. When Jesus came, he said to not give a thought about what they ate, they drank, or they wore. This was the beef that Jesus had with the Pharisees. He did. All right, let's look at Matthew 12 for a minute. Because of their hearts, they didn't care if people were hurt or helped or anything like that. They didn't care about that. All they cared about is the legalistic part of the law. Okay, Matthew 12, and at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. All right. What you didn't wash your hands? That sound familiar? You didn't put on your stuff? Probably today, if there was manna on the ground, most would say, don't touch it, it's dirty, it's been on the ground. I wonder if they did that coming out of Egypt. Maybe so. I hope y'all hear everything I'm saying today. The Lord led every bit of this, and you may be tired of hearing it, and it may not be what you want to hear. I don't know that I really want to bring it, but I've got to do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. All right, now turn to Hebrews 10. Starting with verse 1. But the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For would then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have not had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. God didn't want it in the first place. He wanted him to walk by faith. Abraham walked by faith. He's the father of our faith. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come in to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. But we still got people today trying to bring the body of Christ back under the law, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and in their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering of sin or for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You cannot follow your conscience. I know a lot of people teach that, follow your conscience. No, I don't believe that. We follow the Spirit. Okay? And our bodies washed with pure blood. Now, if you're following the Spirit, maybe you can, but I just don't agree with that. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for his faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. And for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, said the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense and reward, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Okay, the Holy Spirit goes on to point out those in the Faith Hall of Fame in chapter 2. They weren't known by keeping the law and its ordinance, but they were known by what they did by faith. I'm not going to read that tonight. You are well acquainted with it. All right, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, I'll read that one. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, he did a complete work, and it was all by faith. And our walk is completely by faith. It's not by works. Jesus, the author and finisher, okay? Most are so ingrained in caring for themselves, they couldn't do it without thinking about everything, every little thing, fretting about every little thing, everything. Making it possible that we actually do not carry care about anything concerning ourselves? Isn't that what that's about? Don't eat, drink, or wear. These are the basic necessities. We're not to give a thought about them. We're not to care about them. I don't have to read that to you either. I've read it to you so many times. Jesus tried to tell the religious leaders of the day, two masters here and you can't serve both. You'll either serve the care bear snare, Master, or you're going to serve the one that's already completely done everything, and he requires you to keep your care cast on him. So that the lion, the fake lion, as a roaring lion, will not devour you. All right. Okay. Jesus tried to tell the religious leaders of the day, two masters here, and you can't serve both. It's not the food, but the thoughts that you have about it. Now I want you to get this. It's not about food per se. It's about the thoughts. Thoughts about it. In our day and time, 24/7 is coming out of every sector. They've poisoned our food. They've done all the vaccines we've ever taken, have done all this damage. It's just like a flood out of every place. The negativity. Why? Because Satan knows how you operate, how God made you, that you operate by faith. And if he can get your mind so infiltrated with everything but what God says, that's what you're going to speak, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak, and that's what I'm talking about. Okay, Matthew 15. I mean, I'm thinking I'm doing pretty good, and then the Lord will show me something, and I'll go, "Ah, Lord, thought I was doing okay." And he said, "No, you've been drifting a little." See, we're either going to be on the faith lane or we're not. Mm-hmm. The walk of faith is like walking a tightrope. I'm telling you, it is. Because You can't serve two masters. You cannot keep the law and you cannot keep the law of faith. It's either one or the other. Most people are like this, back and forth. Do you see many people in the world? I'm not talking about those that have billions of dollars, because they're probably worse off than the rest of us, because money cannot make you happy. But do you see people that are just so on top of it and just never seem to be bothered by anything, that they're walking in their faith and they're just getting answers on all those kind of things that they need to get? Do you know anybody? Can you name one? I'm talking about the ones that look good on TV. It looks like they got it all together. I can tell you for sure, they have their challenges too. All right, Matthew 15:11. It's not that which goes into the mouth that defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. If we really believe that, we would never give a thought about eating anything or drinking anything, because we believe the word. Jesus is establishing a principle here. This all has to do about leaven. You know, we've talked about the thoughts. That's that leaven that leavens the whole lump, your thinking process. Now, that which goes into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Amen. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. I don't want in the ditch. I want to walk right down the middle. Toe the faith line. That's what I want to do. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? If everything is true, what they've said, there wouldn't be many people left alive. What's the difference? Because he knows he can't touch us. If we're thinking right and saying what comes out of our heart, what we believe by faith, can't do anything. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. And I'm not talking about the blood pump. We're talking about your mind, your will, your emotions. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but deep with unwashing hands defileth not a man. What's food got to do with it? Nothing. They could say anything and someone would believe it. I heard a man, this man I think it was Congress, and he was saying, you could take Roundup weed killer and drink it. Well, what have they done? They've demonized it. Everything they've demonized. They put them stickers on them. Oh, don't go near that. That's radioactive. It'll do this and it'll do that. What have they programmed us ever since we were born to think? Jesus said, it's not what comes, you know, it's not what you eat. So what he's telling these people, it's not what you eat. That doesn't defile you. Because they were under the law and they thought, well, because we eat just like the commandment says, we're clean. Are y'all getting this? All right. Right here. Let me read this again. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. See, they thought you're breaking the law. because you're not washing your hands. This is what's defiling you. And what Jesus say about these type of people? You're dead men's bones. You clean out the outside, but you don't do anything about the inside. It's the inside. It's the inside. It's what you think about things and then what you speak about things. It establishes things. We are made to create. Do you understand? We are made to create. Most of the things we deal with, you know, we have in life, we've just spoke them all our life and they manifested. We didn't know we was exercising our faith. You know, people say, I don't have any faith. What they don't realize, they've been working faith their whole life since they started talking. They've been working faith. It's automatic. Mark 7, 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'm telling you what. I'd say 99% of the body of Christ don't have a clue about this. When he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? It cannot. Because it entereth not into the heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Well, I've been eating bad all my life, smoking, drinking, doing all these things, and it's killing me, and, you know, that's why I'm unhealthy. No, it's what's in you and what you're saying. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, and all these evil things come from within and defile the man. There's where the problem is. For us to act like all that garbage is true, if you look at these charts here, how can you be carefree with thinking everything? Well, I can't wear that. No, I can't. Oh, I can't eat that. Oh, I can't do that. Y'all, it's the truth. Like I said, the Lord said, you need to buzz the tower again. Not just for y'all, for me too. Sometimes I'll say, Lord, I didn't write this. All right. It's what they thought about it. Even today, we can allow all the fake news to get into our thinking processes and live in fear and speak fear. And we'll get just what we speak. Yeah. Even the devil knows that. He knows it's your thinking and your saying that will hurt you. That's why he's piped his sewage through every outlet. All the commercials we've been pounded with, selling all the crappiest stuff in the world, you know, to try to brainwash you into thinking a certain way. I watched that video again today about the, it was very good, the one by Jim Crenshaw, I think is his name. It's all about all the push, the alien agenda and all that they've pushed, and how this man, he was a Christian, then he decided to get into the paranormal because all he heard, especially growing up, is sci-fi and aliens and all that kind of stuff. He started doing his research and he returned to God. And God showed him exactly what he spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me when I went to him about, what are these, what is this about? Why when I watch anything that's especially about real aliens, Roswell, all that stuff, fear comes against me. I have bad dreams. What's going on with this? The Lord said they're demonic. That's the same thing this guy says, and this is what this film is about. That these are demonic entities. And I realize today that those programmers that are bringing that are Christians, they've been deceived by doctrines of devils. They have. And they seem like intelligent people, but they have been absolutely deceived. Well, it's not any different in the other areas of our life. They have tried to deceive us in every way that they could, because that's what the devil does. Okay, let me see where I picked up. Right here. Why do you think that all our airways are practically all filled with messages of fear? You get on there and somebody's going, oh, the banks are going down. Oh, you better get your money out. Blah, 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 all this stuff. Well, when the fear comes down the pike, exit stage left or whatever. Don't listen to the fear porn. Okay. Now you can see why Paul was so enraged at Peter. He was protecting the gospel of the kingdom, and he was protecting the Gentile converts. Why? Because of what Peter did. All right, we're going to look at what Peter did. Y'all know what Peter did. I'm sorry, Peter, you're never going to live this down. All right, verse 11, Galatians 2. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. This is the way I feel when I hear those programmers saying this garbage. I want to say, you have been deceived by a doctrine of a devil. And you're influencing all these people in this deception. It makes me furious. I just think, anyway. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with them, insomuch that Barnabas. Here's two apostles now. I'm telling how many other in the bunch. Was also carried away with their dissimulation. I should have looked up that word, dissimulation. Let me see if I find it. Do you know what that means? Dissimulation. Hypocrisy. Huh? Hypocrisy? Okay. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou that is Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. See, you can't do the law, and you can't faith. He walks by faith, so he's dead to the law. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Then he goes on to talk about old foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. He said he was going to compromise all the Gentile church. You see where the little leaven leavens a whole lump? It's not about food per se. It's about these thinking processes. They're deadly to the body of Christ. So we see. We have a powerless church. And I'm thinking, Lord, you're going to have to be raising up a lot of people to start retraining these people. They're totally neutralized. And they think they're right. All right, it could have leavened the whole body of Christ. That's why it was so dangerous. You think, well, it's just about food, no big deal. No, it's dangerous. All right. It's all happening today. I'm sure it's probably worse today than it was then. See, I think this has been Satan's biggest inroad in the body of Christ. Because the walk of believing in Jesus is the walk of faith. You believe in Jesus by faith, and everything he did and everything you appropriate from him is by faith. But if you're all compromised with other types of beliefs about it, what's that going to do? It's going to be null and void. What's it going to be? You're not going to work either one. Well, you might go the other way, be okay. I don't know. All right. It's totally compromised the whole church and its commission. We're be about the Father's business, not taking a care about anything. Why do you think God wants us to spiritually map? Because we've got to break up the fallow ground of the enemy that the enemy has hardened. This morning the Lord spoke to me, and I'd probably be bringing it. The parable of the sower is not about getting stuff. It's about the commission. It's about the word that's sown in a person's heart, and the ground is thorns or the ground is hard. What do you think people, this mapping's about? It's about breaking up that hard ground so the people that are evangelists and have that anointing on them to go take the gospel, the ground is churned up so that the seed falls in there and it takes root. That's what it's about. And we've taken it as faith people just to get stuff. No, it isn't. Go read it. Sometimes we take out our pet peeve scriptures and we hold to them, but what is the real thought, the whole thought about it? All right, we're supposed to rule and reign. The leaven must be taught out of the church. That's where the apostles and prophets are going to come in. All right. We're nearly done. Jesus said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, this is something that surprised me. I believe that the taking of communion is a ceremony that we take too lightly. We see the taking of the bread without leaven. That's the body of Christ, is without leaven. I didn't look up the feast. There's a feast that they would get all the leaven out of their house for a certain period of time. They couldn't allow any leaven into their houses. That's just a type and shadow. Communion is unleavened bread. And he said, do it as often as you think of me. And there's a reason, not rightly discerning the body of Christ, that many are weak and sickly among you. And some have even died. Not rightly discerning the Lord's body. What does his body do? What did it do? It leavened all of the devil's works. It leavened everything. All right. I hope you see that. All right, just a few more and we'll be done. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? 1 Corinthians 5:7. Well, let's read 8 here. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. See, there's the communion connection right there. Isn't that what that's kind of a remembrance of, the Passover? Whenever they come out of Egypt, what happened? They had to eat bread without any leaven in it. I'm telling you, it's all connected. Colossians 2, this will be my last one, 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things are indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Okay, I'm going to leave it there.